intelligence. His mind is the moon, the reservoir of all changes.
Vijnana Shaktina Mahimat Mananti Sarabhat Manonkar Karanam Giripram
Giripram Ashvas
Ashvas Svakar Utra Gajana Khani Sarade Maga Pashava Shroni Deshe.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The principle of matter, Mahatattva, is the consciousness of the omnipresent Lord, as asserted by the experts. And Rudra Deva is his ego. The horse, mule, camel, and elephant are his males. And the wild animals and all quadrupeds are situated in the belt zone of the Lord. Text 36, today's sloka.
Vayam vikat yakaranam vichitram manur manisha manujo nivasaha gandharva vidyadara charana akhara parashmatir asu anika virya.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Varieties of birds are indication of his masterful artistic sense. Manu, the father of mankind, is the emblem of his standard intelligence, and humanity is his residence. The celestial species of all human beings, like the Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, Charanas, and Apsara, all represent his musical rhythm. Demoniac soldiers are representation of his wonderful prowess. Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
The aesthetic sense of the Lord is manifested in the artistic, colorful creation of varieties of birds, like the peacock, the parrot, the cuckoo. The
celestial species of human beings, like the Gandharvas and the Vidyadharas, can sing wonderfully and can entice even the minds of the heavenly demigods. The musical rhythm represents the musical sense of the Lord. How then can he be impersonal? His musical taste, artistic sense, and standard intelligence, which is never fallible, are different signs of his supreme personality. The Manu Sangita is the standard law book for humanity. Every human being is advised to follow this great book of social knowledge. Human society is the residential quarters for the Lord. This means the human society is meant for God realization and association with God. This life is a chance for the conditioned soul to regain his eternal God consciousness and thus fulfill the mission of life. Maharaja Prahlad is the right type of representative of the Lord. In the family of the Asuras, none of the living beings is away from the Lord's gigantic body. Each and every one has a particular duty in relation to the supreme body. Destruction in the matter of discharging the specific duty assigned to each and every living being is the cause of disharmony between one living being and another. But when the relation is reestablished in relation with the Supreme Lord, there is complete unity between all living beings, even up to the limit of the wild animals and human society. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed this living unity in the jungle of Madhya Pradesh, where even the tigers, elephants, and many other ferocious animals perfectly cooperated and glorified the Supreme Lord. That is the way to peace and enmity all over the world. Vrindavane Ramana Veti Prasiddha Bhumau Tatravi Krishna Balarama Subhadi Mule Kranam Padam Padamai Krishna Sudharma Chuktam Dandas Sudeva Prabhupada Namo Namaste Samasara Dukha Jala Dau Patitasya Kama Krodari Nakrama Korai Kavali Kutasya Nurvasha Nani Gaditasya Nirasrayasya Chaitanya Chandra Mamadehi Vadava Lambam Jaladara Shashivano Gopadeshu Kisolo Sahacharaganavrindai Kridamana Vrteso Natabharajitadeso Neelatitam Varadyo Jagadajana Nehetu Ramakrishna Natovasmi Vansakopatrubhya Chatripasan Jayvasa Hridana Napavani Tumarshade Jyomunamonama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
This description of Virat Rupa
in this second canto, it elaborates further what was spoken to Arjuna in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The idea of it is that for the simple man who cannot see God by chanting the holy name properly due to distractions in their lifestyle, that they may be encouraged in the beginning to focus their mind on the Supreme Lord by seeing His energies expanded everywhere. So, the extent that Krishna told Bhagavad Gita 11th chapter is not the final word about Virata. In this statement, Virata Rupa influence is expanded further and manifested further. And so, because we're supposed to refer to the three verses, the clouds, first thing was about, was referring to the mega, the clouds. Ambubavahan. The clouds are filled with carry water. Sometimes in the description of autumn, in the 10th canto, 21st chapter, I believe it is, the description of autumn, it's described there that the clouds are the friends. The gopis say that the clouds are the friends of the coward boys because they shade the hot sun from their heads and keep the boys cool as they walk in the forest with the cows. And therefore, the clouds are the friends. It's described, it's also described in poetical language that the monsoon cloud has a darkish complexion like Shamsunda. This cloud is usually quite dark. It's quite dark. And once it starts to rain, the cloud is quite pervasive. That's understood. Now, when they ask the question, where does the color come from? Krishna's color. In the early days of this God, we never knew the answer. Why is God blue? Or why is God black? He likes it that way. That's his style, you know. Everybody's got their style, and he's got his, you know. What do you got against it, you know? That's what it is to say against people, you know. But finally, we found out some pramans that actually in Udval Nilamani, it mentions that Krishna's Shamsundar color is the color that excites and awakens Madhurya Rasa, the taste of the pleasure-giving potency that awakens Krishna's pleasure with the gopis. So Krishna's Shamsundar form awakens that greed to obtain Krishna in that way, in the Madhurya style. Krishna's Madhurya, his sweetness, is present in all the primary relationships in Vrindavan, irregardless of whether it's parental or fraternal, or servitude. The servitude is respectful intimacy. It is Gaurava Vishramba. That's described. So it is not the same as in Vaikuntha on veneration. There they have no fear of Krishna. They serve Krishna without fear. That is Vrindavan. But in all aspects, the Madhurya sweetness is the main push, the impetus of the relationship. So that sweetness is manifested from his Shamsundar form, his Shama Varna. So that's the color. That's the description about the color. Why does Krishna wear blue? I mean, why does Radha and Balaram wear blue? Why does Krishna wear yellow? We never knew it. That was the same thing. That's the color they like. That's their thing. You know? There is a praman.
In Ujjvala Nilamani, Rupa Goswami Pad says that you can tell the mind of the person according to the color of cloth they wear. Balaram and Radharani both wear blue because it reminds them of Krishna. Although Radha's Bhava is more in Shambhava in terms of Madhurya. And Daudri is Shama Bhava in terms of Seva, in terms of Raksha Seva, to protect Krishna. But in either case, Krishna Chintana Vesena Yasya Kanti Vilopita. They're thinking of Krishna constantly, and therefore they've come, their color, whatever it is, has become overwhelmed by his. That's why Radha and Balaram wear blue. Their bhava is overwhelmed by his. Jauji has got Raksha Seva bhava. His satya, his friendship with Krishna, is overwhelmed by Raksha. With Vatsalya Raksha, as an elder brother, he wants to protect Krishna. How much elder is he? 8 days. Still, he has the appellation, the elder brother, and his job is to protect his younger brother, and he'll do it. And he'll do it, and he happily does it, and his advisor in so many relationships. And he has all of his friends that surround him in that same bhava, elder boys, and they carry weapons, mindipala, and so many things, you know, to smash maces and so many things they carry. Swords and mushal. Balaram has one weapon he's got is a mushal. Mushal is like a pestle for crushing grain. And he carries that. Does he ever use it? Never read anywhere. Maybe that pastimes have been lost, burned by the Muslims. The Mughals broke so many temples, killed so many sadhus, burned so many puttas. The fires in Kashi burned for 3 years, it's described, in Kashi Mahatma. Can you imagine libraries burning for 3 years? It's hard to conceive of it, that fires would burn for 3 years. But evidently, the Marathi, you know, cultural marauders were finding something to burn every day, that they were burning every day. So the scholars smuggled Shastra out into the forest with their disciples. So whatever we still got left of the Vedas, you know, slipped out, went to South India, beyond the Mughal Raja. And that's the depiction about Kashi, how many libraries were burned. So it's not surprising that we don't know so many things about Balarama's Tekla, about Balarama's Gopis, about so many things. It's not surprising. So Krishna Chintana Vesena, and his friends also, their business is to protect Krishna somehow. And sometimes, because Gauji is always intoxicated on Kadambari, always intoxicated on Varuni beverage somehow, Kadambari. It's a liquor made out of Kadamba flowers, mixed with a little honey, probably some fruit thrown in for good measure, to increase the fermentative process. And it's very standard stuff. You know, it's not like it was just occasional. Festival only. No, it's quite happy. And within the bow of the Navratam, Gauji gets smashed a few times in act number 2 or so, but by act number 4 or 5, you know, all the boys are smashed, you know. So it's quite common, and the goal is to give it to Krishna also, out of the force. The one thing about Krishna which became clear in the drama is that Krishna is more sober than Balaram is. That's for sure. And when Kirtita wanted to give Balaram another mudka to Dambari, Krishna said, no, don't do it. And later on, when Balaram asked him for it, in the middle of the drama, Krishna looked at Madhu Mangala and thought, should we give it? And Madhu Mangala said, no. And so they made an excuse. The mudka. He wants the mudka. Oh, sorry. Somebody must have dropped it. We don't know where it is. And then Gauji got angry and chased everybody. And then he got embarrassed. It was so funny. He got embarrassed that maybe I've had too much to drink and these boys should not tell my mother Rohini. And then he said, you're not going to tell my mother Rohini that I had too much to drink in the forest, will you? And then Krishna said, I'm your younger brother. I do whatever you say. What are you worried about me? But I can't say anything about these boys. Because they're independent minded, all of them. They're fiercely independent and they guard their independence and they're proud of it. Right? And like this. So Gauji went up to them very menacingly and looked at them. You're not going to say anything to my mother Rohini, are you? You know? And they go, "Hey, we want to play with you from tomorrow, you know? And why should we tell your mother we're leaving, you know? If it's going to jeopardize our playing with you from tomorrow." So we don't say anything. So Krishna just says, "You don't have to worry about me. You don't have to worry about my friends. This brother, this group is speaking chat. Can't guarantee it." So Gauri goes up to Mother Mangala and says, "You're not going to say anything to my mother Rohini that I have too much to drink in the forest, will you?" And he goes,
well.
So Gauri tied him up. He tied him up in the tree by a sika in the Gukkar. I think a long sika or something like that. He tied him up in the tree. And then he tickled him. And while he was tickling him, you know, and harassing him by tickling him, then finally he goes, "Okay, look, I also want to play with you tomorrow." "All right, I don't say anything." Then Gauri let him go. No, it was very common. Getting smashed was very, very common. You know, like this, on Kadambari. It was very common. And therefore, his eyes were always red, it's described. His eyes were red. I haven't found anything about his pupils. I did find about Krishna's pupils recently. Krishna's pupils is blue irises. Bilba Mangala Thapar says in Krishna Parinamrita. I was always wondering about that. And I heard rumors that Radharani's eyes are also blue. Not surprising. And quite nice. Quite nice story. In any case, so Krishna's Shama, the clouds remind the devotees of Krishna. And the clouds are the best friends of the coward boys. That's the aspect of the clouds. So, it mentions the terminations of day and night are his dress. That's very interesting. The covering of the Virat Rupa is the day and the night. Interestingly enough, from what I remember reading in Mahabharata and Rajamashashana Parva, there was a story of Vipula serving his Gurudev, Deva Sharman, with a Karmakandi Brahmin, and his Dharma Patni, his Guru Patni, her name was Ruchi Mata. So Vipula was serving them. First, he had to serve his Gurudev by protecting his Guru Patni from the machinations of Indra, who was quite lusty and quite forward, famous in Shastra. So he did that by taking over every inch of her body by fishing. He just like, with his eyes, he penetrated. He sat across the room and penetrated with a penetrating glance through the eyes of his Guru Padmi. He just took over every motion of her body so that she couldn't rise up to greet Indra. Indra couldn't do anything to her, nothing. And then he came back in his body, blasted Indra, and Indra ran off. Then when David Sharman came back, he said, "Here, Guru Maharaj, we gave you a wife back." Like this. Then some of her upstart friends came. And said, "I found these," she asked, "How did you get these flowers that you have in your hair?" "Oh, they're very nice flowers. These are flowers from the heavenly planet. They don't wilt," she said. "Wow. Flowers that don't wilt. Amazing. Is any more flowers like that there?" "Oh, yes, there's some." "All right. Immediately, you learn that you only take what you need and don't steal the whole thing, right? As part of a minute of life." So then, "I like flowers like that," no, Ruchi said. Then immediately, David Sharman goes, "Vipula, don't bring these flowers to my Ruchi." So he went out. When he went out to go get the flowers, according to the depiction where the flowers had fallen from the upstart's hair as they cavorted in the garden, no? Then he went to go get those flowers. Along the way, there were two men. They were stepping. And they were saying, "I step first." The other guy said, "No, I step first. No, I step first. I step first." Then one of them pointed an accusative finger at the other guy and said, "Because you're speaking like that, you're going to meet the same end as the Dvija, Vipula." So Vipula was on his way to collect the flowers. He goes, "Wow, what's that? You know? What's that about? What did I do? You know?" And his mind was blown by hearing that, you know, but he said, what can I do? I got to do my service, right? So then he continued on his way. Along his way, he saw six men, and they were playing dice, betting, you know, and one was declared, I won! It's my time! I won! And the other guy said,
no, you didn't win. It's my time. I won.
You know, they're all arguing with each other, six guys. Finally, one of them points the accusative finger at the other fellow and goes, because you're speaking like that, you're going to meet the same man as the Vija Vibula. And Vibula said the second time, he goes, wow, what am I doing? You know? You know, and then he found the flowers and he came back. So when he came back, here's Guru Maharaj, here's the flowers. Saluti, Luti, here's your flowers. You got the flowers, right? And he goes, Guru Maharaj. Then deeper than David Sharma goes, you look quite astonished. Did you see anything amazing when you did your service today? Guru Maharaj, I saw two men. One was stepping first, you know, and they were arguing with him. Who were they? They were the day and the night. You cannot say who stepped first. He said, they see everything that you do. And Guru Maharaj, they said that one criticized the other and said that they would meet the same end as the Dvija, regenerate people, in the old 1893 translation of Mahabharata. The old English, regenerate. Dvija. Dvija people. What does that mean, Guru Maharaj? Meditate on what you've done wrong. That's what it means. Then, and Guru Maharaj, who were the six men? They were the six ritus. You cannot say who said first because the ritus are intertwining. You know, one ritu ends and another ritu starts, right? So there are six ritus and the six seasons. You know, and while one starts and another starts, there's an overlapping period. This is why there was competition. Who said first? And sometimes, in places like Melbourne, they joke that all four seasons are available in one day, you know? And in Russia, I don't know how. We'll have to wait till we get there. As they say, that the seasons, the six rituals are serving Radha and Krishna's pastimes and thus the Kali Lila. What's so fun about Himansa, you know? What's so fun about the winter? What's so fun about the rainy season? But evidently, each season has its good things, you know? The cold season, the rainy season, the dry season, etc. And Bhagavatam mentions that although it was nice and hot, still by Krishna's presence, everything became just like spring. So, and evidently, these different rituals don't cause any problem in the Supreme Lord's abode. They serve in their transcendental capacity. And there is no degradation of the time factor. So these are some aspects. When it mentions that the night and the day are the dress of the Lord, what came to mind was this night and day, pastime in Mahabharata, that they are also sakshi, they are witnesses. What do you do? You cannot do anything independently. Then it says, the supreme cause of material creations is intelligence. It was described a definition of Adhokshaja. Adhokshaja is inconceivable. The Lord of the inconceivable way is a definition of Adhokshaja. So, he is inconceivable. Achintya kalaye bhava natam sarakena yojaya. If something is inconceivable for us, no use arguing over it. So, his intelligence is very sharp. Now, his intelligence is many times in Vrindavan, in Mathura, in Dwaraka, the Lord's intelligence is well chronicalized, etc. But one of the biggest intelligence was how he formulated this Mahabharat Yuga. Even while acting as a broker, as a duty, as a messenger of Yudhisthira, at the same time, it was all under his plan. And he was acting like, with real innocent, like, you know, he was like a peace man and trying to say that nobody should fight. You know, but actually his plan was to bring all these guys together and kill them all anyway. And Gandhari, she's very smart also. Later on, in Sri Parva, like I said, if you want to stay up all night in Ekadasi one night And if you don't know how, you're going to keep your eyelids open. Reach Street Harbor. You will definitely not be able to fall asleep. It's one of the heaviest things in the Mahabharata you'll ever read. So heavy. You know, as the men are killed and their wives howling, you know, coming from their chariots from Hastinapur, they came out. And the public were amazed because these ladies, they never saw. They were in the palaces all the time. These royal ladies were always in the internal palaces, you know, pampered and served by maidservants, and they know the public never saw them. So they were coming out, and they were going on the chariots, racing out to the battlefield, and embracing their fallen husbands, brothers, sons, fathers, etc. And Gandhari was like a narrator in the depiction, as she's going around the battlefield with Krishna at her side, and she's discussing with it about glories about different personality, and noting with amazing journalistic depiction about the glories of that particular kshatriya and the amazing nature of the lamentations of the wives and the mothers and the daughters and the sisters, you know, of that fallen kshatriya. And it's intense. Then at the very end she says that Krishna, why did you do this? Why did you allow my dynasty to be destroyed? You know, it's a fact that my son Duryodhana was the cause of the destruction. That's one thing. But why you couldn't prevent him? If everything is controlled by you, if everything is maintained and annihilated by you, and you're controlling everything, why you couldn't stop my wicked son? You know, it's like the lamentation of a lady, you know, cannot be stopped. You know, she was lamenting that all my 100 sons are finished now, you know. And, well, it was predicted by the Guru. The Guru told Dhritarashtra to get rid of this one, you know, for the sake of the other 99. But Dhritarashtra wouldn't hear the Guru, unfortunately. And what could be said? And Gandhari, she also tried her level best to make sure her son got some brains. Unfortunately, his wrath was unstoppable because he was under the influence of Kala. And interestingly enough, it was described that Duryodhana was a manifestation of Kali Yuga, personified. That I learned only recently. That was amazing. That he was actually a manifestation of Kali Yuga, personified. Was Duryodhana. So that was quite surprising. Then she curses Krishna, that this is my dynasty, has been finished. Now, so your dynasty 36 years hence will also be finished. And Sri Krishna said, Tathastu. Because he was thinking, I was just thinking of a way how I was going to get out. You know? I was going to extricate myself, and now you've given me the perfect example, so I accept it. You know? And all the others were thinking, gee, what's going to happen? You know, they were all concerned about it because Krishna accepted Gandhari's Krishna. And later on, naturally, she gave up her anger to Krishna, but as they say in Hindi, Jogaya Hogaya, you know, what is done is done, what is said is said. And Gandhari's asceticism was so great, her pativrata was so powerful, her asceticism was so great that it was true that Krishna just utilized her truthful speaking. And everybody was wondering how Gandhari's curse was going to become manifested, how the Yadu dynasty would be destroyed, etc., etc. And Krishna just kept it all within himself for 36 years, how it would be happening. So it's very interesting. The cause of material creation is Krishna's intelligence. Even wrapping up his manifestation, Krishna's intelligence is there. Even wrapping up his leela, Krishna's intelligence is there. Krishna's so smart. Jasangatanam tasamasatoro. It's described in Charagraganya Purushastakam and Chaurastakam how Krishna loves to steal. And Krishna steals many things. He steals the multifarious sins of the living entities, right? He stole the gopi's clothes. He steals the life of the demons. He steals so many wonderful things as the chief of the thieves. Now the last stuti, the authors, the kavis always say the last for the best. So the last line, the most cryptic of all the lines, is Jatanga Tanam Kasamasta Choro. For those who go to his service, everything he'll be defeated. He'll steal everything. Now what was interesting is in the 10th canto, 5th chapter, when the gopis are complaining to Mother Jasoda about the mischievous antics of her son, they say that he comes to our houses and he sends his friends as spies. Now you go inside and see who is there, you know? And if nobody is there, let me know, you know, so that he can go in and see us. And then keep his things away from him. We try to do that, but they get on, turn the motors upside down and then keep it in the dark. Well, his jewels give illumination, we can't stop it. And when we try to offer it to him, he's not happy. Suppose we offer it voluntarily. Okay, look, you know that you're going to come in. You've come in as a thief and stolen from me before a few times. So I might as well, you know, willingly give it. He comes to the door ready. He said, oh, Christmas, come. Would you like something? Would you like some milk? Would you like some yogurt? Would you like some butter? Would you like something? And Christmas is not very happy. You know, that if you give it willingly, Christmas is not so happy. He wants to use it as diligence. He wants to steal it. If he gets the gopi stolen that would be offered voluntarily, he's not as happy as if he gets the opportunity to steal it. Then he feels very content that I use my intelligence to steal it. Where does that, you know, where does that come from? Mischievous nature of children. Anyway, everything comes from Bhagavan. But his creation, his desire to steal something. Now, it's the same thing. Bhakti means devotion. If you have devotion, that is what Krishna is eating. Bhava grahi janardana. The bhava, the mood of the devotee. So Prabhupada describes about Krishna's hunger. That Krishna's Atmanam, he doesn't require anything, but he is hungry proportionate to the greed of the devotee to feed him something. If you have Krishna on your mind to feed him something, then he's greedy to eat it. That's the nature of it. Suppose you want to give something, some cloth. Please don't give plastic, please. Give something nice to Krishna. Give some nice soap. Because he's glorified as Koshe of Avanam. He wears Koshe. Soap cloth. Give him some good soap cloth. Right. Cotton at worst. Right? Like that. If you have to give some lousy Japanese soap, which is not really soap, mixed with some plastic, put some cotton lining. Like that. At least. If you're stuck with some Japanese soap. However, use Indian soap if you can get it. Scraps, whatever. Get Krishna a nice thing. Koshe Vasan. And when you give him jewelry, try to give him real stuff. That's the South Indian tradition. Of course, you don't want to attract thieves. But who's going to steal semi-precious bhushan? You know? We're talking about garnet from Rajasthan. Or, you know, like that. Right? You can offer peridot, lapis lazuli. Krishna gave himself lapis lazuli and dakshina to the brahmanas at the night time. When Krishna, when they have some, in the sabha, in the evening, the boys come to see Krishna in Gauji's sabha. And they have some natak, they have some drama for entertainment. And to give the napya, the dramatist, and Krishna gives them gifts of cloth and lapis lazuli. And in the morning, when the Brahmins come to glorify Krishna and Balarama, in the early morning hours, before they go out for cowardly at 9 o'clock, Krishna gives cloth and lapis lazuli. It's a stride. Astakali Lila Smarana. So if Bhagavan himself is giving lapis lazuli as a donation, it must be very, very nice, you know. For Brahmins that are wearing white cloth, lapis lazuli looks pretty good. It's a very colorful blue. Bluish and whitish stone, you know, and you mix the two together. It's quite nice on white cloth. It looks pretty good. It must have some other lakshanas as well. Can't say. Different stones have different medicinal effects. So, evidently so. But if Bhagavan is giving that in dakshina, why should we give that to him in dakshina? It's not expensive stuff. We're not asking you to give diamonds and rubies and emeralds, although that's not so bad. The best rubies is Burma, if you can tolerate it, right? Or if you can get it. I'm still trying. Still trying to get some Burmese jade for our brothers. No? Garnet is considered to be a poor man's jade. I mean, a poor man's ruby, you know, because it looks quite similar. So give the Supreme Lord nice things. And Krishna wants your love. And if you're greedy to give it, he's greedy to take it. It's like one devotee asked me to bring Krishna Balaram something. And I said, okay, I'll bring it from Russia. The only place I know to get that stone jewelry, that color you want, is in Russia. I'll arrange it. So when I got there, boom, then I remembered it. Oh, I promised so-and-so that I'd get this for the deity. So then I pulled some house over there and said, hey, where can I get this stone jewelry? They said, oh, we'll get it. So they went in and they bought it, $40, and they bought it. 5 kilos stone jewelry. Each stone was this big around. Malachi, green. Green stone. Looks kind of like Saturn or, you know, green. Quite nice. And it was this big around each. And I put two together enough to make put it around their necks. I said, fine. Now, how am I going to get this for the deity? That particular deity is in Mauritius at the time. And I was in Russia. I thought, long way away, right? And it was June-ish, July-ish. And I was thinking, the Mauritian devotees come to Vrindavan and Kirti. That's the last time I was able to find a carrier. How am I going to get it to the Lord? All the way from here. And just all of a sudden, the next few days, I was in a railway station. My devotees were going to get tickets to go to St. Petersburg from Moscow. And who happened to be in the queue? An Indian boy. And, you know, Moscow's got nothing but Caucasian people. So if you see an Indian boy in the middle of all that Caucasian people, it's quite amazing. Different. So he asked him, hey, who are you? Where did you come from? And then the devotees told him that Madhaswami is outside in the park. In the car park. Oh. So he got out of the queue and he came. He's right here. He's right here. Sit within the chair with him. I was thinking that the elder generation would definitely appreciate Bhakti Siddhanta's words a lot more than the younger generation. In any case, so this boy came to me, and I said, and as soon as I saw him, I started to speak in Hindi with him. And then he told me that my name is Arvind Matu, and I'm an aspiring disciple of Gopal Krishna. And I'm from Mauritius, he said. And I'm going to college here, of course. They're like many people, it's only one-third the cost of an education anywhere to go there. You have to cram Russian, or cram Ukrainian, or whatever it is. And they cram it. Indians are great. They can cram it in 7 months, you know. And then they learn their classes in that medium, right? And they survive somehow, as they always manage to do. And then when they graduate 4 years later, whatever, they come back and they do their military, right? Like everybody else does. He said, I'm on vacation now. Oh, and I'm going back to my village in 2 days, on Monday. And this is a Saturday. I'm just going to St. Petersburg for 1 day to do something and come back. And on Monday, I fly out to go to Mauritius, on Emirates. From Moscow to Dubai to Mauritius. And I laughed. And I brought him around, and I opened up my bag and handed him the 5 kilos. I said, Krishna Balaram has asked you to be his messenger. There's millions of people in that city, and I'm just going to bump into a devotee. They just happened to be going back to Mauritius in 2 days, you know. Right. No, I just laughed, and I said, Krishna wants you to be his messenger. He wants you to take this to him to put on his neck. And besides that, why don't you buy it for your deities in the temple nearby you also? Phoenix Temple. We have a temple there, Radhagolokananda. Yeah. I should buy something for them too. Yeah. So we turned around and asked some devotees in Russian, where will I get this thing? They said, Simperopolsky Bazaar. I know where that is. I'll go and I'll buy the same stone jewelry there and give it to for Radhagolokananda's neck. It was very interesting. So I understood it very clearly, that the world is very small. If you have greed to give Krishna something, then Krishna will steal it. He'll make some arrangements. You don't need DHL. He'll do it. If your greed is enough, he'll arrange the courier also. You don't even need to spend any money on DHL, you know? My realization was that Krishna will do the needful. Other examples. That Shukla Bara Brahmachari in Chaitanya Bhagavat was doing Madhukari. That was the way the Brahmins did in those days. Five houses, seven houses, whatever it was. And when you're doing Madhukari, the nature of bathing is maybe you'll get, maybe you won't. Of course, if it's Brahmin houses, usually you will. And what do you get in your chula? You know, there's so many different varieties of rice, so many different kinds of dals, you know, and it's all a khichdi. It's just everything is hurt, right? And you don't know, you know. See, and at the height of the Bhiksha Manga, you know, of begging, you go, Bo Mater Bhagavati Bhiksham Dehi, you know, you'll say, oh, opulent mother, please give some donations, you know, like that. So and they give you something, some rice, some dal, something like that. Here, it's all with what we've got. And it goes into the bag. So while he was doing Bhiksha, then he's remembering Gauranga, right? Because, you know, it's the crux of the push. You may get it, you may not. So if you want something to be successful, remember the Supreme Lord. Kachas marana matrena janma samsara bandana himunjate namaskasmai krishna deva. So janma samsara bandana, the boundaries of material life will be less if you remember Bhagavan. Okay? So that's the nature. So remember the Supreme Lord. So he is remembering. So the more you remember the Supreme Lord, the more the Supreme Lord remembers you. So when he came back, Gauranga said, so, Sukrambara, what do you have in your chula, in your bag? And it's all mixed, huh? And I just came back, and I didn't wash it, didn't prepare it. You know what I mean? You have to wash it, segregate it, throw out some stones, you know? Figure it out, right? Clean it up, figure out how to make it nice, you know, and cook it, and then we'll give it to you, you know? So he says, it's not fit for you. But Gauranga doesn't like, when Gauranga wants to accept something, he didn't want to hear no. Right? It's not fit for you. In his Sukhambara's humility, he said, it's not fit for you. Gauranga, how it's not fit? And he put his hand right in the bag. Let us see it. Put his hand right in the bag, pulled it in, and he goes, oh, it's very nice. Is it too? Even Brajahari, the president of Bombay, told me that it is a village life in Orissa as children. They used to grab just cut the towel, just straight raw rice, and pop it in their mouth. And you know, kids, well, you know, kids can digest anything anyway, but in this case, there was no problem. There was no pesticide. The rice was just, so, this is katta. So it's not surprising. And another example was Murari Gupta and his bhava was preparing rice and requesting Gauranga to come and eat it. Repeatedly came and eat it. And in his bhava, he was eat. And Gauranga was coming and eating. So much so that he got sick. And the next day he had to come to his house and said, where did you come to my house for? I need some water for me to get some, to get free from my indigestion. You fed me too much rice last night. Gauranga complained, you fed me too much rice last night. So the bhava, it agreed to give Krishna something. That's what the Lord takes. And if you offer it to him very wonderfully, then he'll take it all. Like the yajna, he'll take it all. Now there's going to be some yajna here. We can see it as obvious. Now, any ritualistic ceremony, whether it's some shadi, whether it's some marriage, Shuddha Karana, whatever it may be, right? Whatever it may be. If you remember Vaman Deva, it states in the 8th canto, even if there may be mistakes in the ritualistic performance, then the sacrifice becomes complete by the remembrance of Vaman Deva. So that's the idea. So by remembrance of the Supreme Lord, it becomes complete. And even if something is kacha, it's raw, because our cooking is not as good as Radha's, no matter who she is, or no matter who he is. And how can we compare it to them in the spiritual world? We have so many faults. But if you remember the Supreme Lord, our faults are reduced or adjusted. That's the idea. Except for those that are cooks. You give them something, they immediately can tear it apart. You know? They can, just by eating it, they can tell what happened. Oh, they spaced this out, they spaced that out, they forgot this, they could have improved it like this. They were in a hurry. This isn't by eating it, you can Yeah, tell exactly what happened. Etc. That's the nature of things. Huh? But Krishna is very merciful. He accepts with love. What is offered with love, he'll accept it. So that is the intelligence of the devotee, is to give something with love. The mind is the moon. Huh? Now, the mind is the moon. The mind of the... his mind. The mind is accepting and rejecting. Sankalpa vikalpa nama mano, Bhagavatam says. So, the mind is accepting the data from the senses. And how is the moon? The moon increases the agitation of the senses. This is the idea of Chandrayana. That the full moon and the waning and waxing moon. As the moon goes smaller, its effect is less. Down to Amavasya. When the moon is full, for those that have mental diseases or mental problems, that's when they're the worst. If you have any epilepsy or anything that, any kind of mental aberration, those that, the full moon is usually the worst night for those people that have tendency to be disturbed by Chandragraha. Chandragraha just agitates the senses. This is why, especially on Ekadasi, it's described. Ekadasi agitates the mind. This is why cool it off by stopping eating and increasing chanting. This is another reason. Now the other idea of Ekadasi, Vata, is that, well, if Chandragraha, if Chandra causes agitation, then maybe Krishna's senses are agitated. Huh? So we should give him more things. This is why the idea on Ekadasi, you do more deity worship and offer Krishna more things on Ekadasi, because if Krishna's senses might be agitated, then we should satisfy his agitation. So this is why they do it. They give him more things. And for us, we have to keep our senses down. Therefore, monks, try to stop all eating, all whatever it is, and reduce it. And eat more Harinam, and eat more Govinda Smaran, and eat more Govinda Lilo, and drink more Bhagavatam. And you know what? Nobody died for 24 hours. And in the old days, it was more than that. It was more than that. It was 2 days and two nights, no food, no sleep. That was how it is in Bhakti Sandarbha. And everybody, how do you do that? Not alone, that's for sure. You have to have all the villagers were together. And with peer pressure from the villagers and entertainment from the villagers, and different pots and different dramas and different singing and different company. And everybody went along. It was a whole village party. And therefore, it wasn't a big deal. No, it wasn't a big deal. It was a whole village party. And Anuchet 300, Jiva Goswami says, can't do that, they're not a very substantial Vaishnava. Talk about heavy. You know, doing the math and figuring out 2 days, two nights, no sleep, no water, no food is enough. But if they can't do that, they're not a very substantial Vaishnava. Wow, what a slap in the face. So this is what was normal 14 generations ago. And we can't even dream about that now, 14 generations later. You know, how fallen have we come in Kali Yuga? Now, what does that mean? Prabhupada said that the standard bearers of the six Goswamis, we cannot imitate them, but nevertheless they set the standards. Which means, before we die, we should try. Now, very comforting for those who do New Year's resolutions. If you want to do Tamil New Year, then you've got 3 more months. So think about it. But if you do Vigation New Year, then go Gaya, Ho Gaya. But the thing about it is, that when I came across, when I was thinking about it, how to become a better devotee this year, I should think about it. Antarmukha, think about it internally. Because we all make mistakes. Interestingly enough, one devotee, Godbrother, passed a samvad between Vidura and Krishna, where Krishna told Vidura that if somebody desires to do something sinful, but does not put it into action, then that fault cannot be his. And if you want to do something nice, accomplish something, but you do not ultimately come up to the standard, you do not achieve it, then the fruit can still be yours, it says. It means that the sincerity to attempt something wonderful, like some project. Suppose you don't complete the temple, or suppose you don't, you know, when you die, trying, you know, still the fruit, the fowl will happen. The fruit will happen. And I thought, how nice. It's like an impetus Krishna is giving Vidura, that go for it, whatever you want to do. If it's something that's anukul for Krishna, if it's something you can do for utilizing your energy, just go for it. Don't worry about it. Become determined to go for it. And if there's something simple, and if you contemplate it in your mind, don't let it go beyond that. Control, because you have to be worried. There's thinking, feeling, and willing. If you talk about it enough, if you contemplate it enough, Bhagavatam describes in fourth canto that contemplation of something enough forces you to do it. Compels you to go for it. Like this. And the contemplation of sense gratification is described, sucks out all the enthusiasm of a person. Like the water sucked out of swampy waters, or sucked out by the bamboo straws in the bank. So don't contemplate something which is not doable. Try to contemplate something that is doable. Make a plan and make it anukula in relation to Krishna. Then things are good. These are some things about intelligence in the mind, is the moon. Another aspect of the moon, Chandra. He mentions Prabhasmi Sagittorio that the sun and the moon are the eyes of the Virata form. But in Bhagavatam and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 238, I believe, famous verse, where it mentions that, my dear friend, if you want to relish the company of family, society, friendship, and love, then don't go to Kesigat, where Govinda is there playing his flute, his face beautified by the moonshine. Don't go, my dear friend. Now, the poetry in Sloka 238 and 239 is a specific kind of Sanskrit poetry where you attract everybody by spreading it in a negative. By pouring water on it, you're actually increasing it. That, if you're forbidding it, it must be very attractive. Mahapreksha, don't go and see it. It means definitely go and see it. If you're forbidding it, then definitely you should go and see it. You know? So when you see that, when you look at the full moon after having learned that shloka of Rupa Goswami, you can never think Prabhasmi Sagittorio. You'll never be satisfied with that. The sun and the moon are the eyes of God. That's okay, but you can't be satisfied after reading Rupa Goswami shloka about the moon. The full moon has a special effect on the devotees. The full moon, they dress the deities in white, because Radha and Krishna slip amongst the full moon light. And in Amavasya, the deities wear black so that they can slip into the darkness. So these are some aspects of color. And the full moon is special. It reminds you of Krishna in a very special way. So that's how the mind of the moon, the visible of all, changes. It's interesting how the moon changes in cycle, 14 cycles. And the mind is also changing, sankalpa and vikalpa. But Krishna's mind doesn't change. What amazing thing is Krishna's speech to the gopis or anybody, anywhere in Bhagavatam you'll see. Even Krishna's sarcasm is so truthful. It's amazing. Even when Krishna's talking to the gopis and he's telling them to go home and be with your husband and don't come out in the middle of the forest, Krishna's words are valid for some particular class of ladies. It has nothing to do with the gopis and their transcendental body, right? That's why they were saying, don't lie to them, Krishna, no, come on. Don't pray again, you go through it. Give up your stubbornness, So they were on his case. But it's amazing that even when Krishna's joking, sarcasm, his words are powerful and true and effective for some particular jiva. So it's amazing. His intelligence and his mind is amazing. Even when it looks like Krishna fluctuates, he's simply giving various variables. That's all. Various options. His fluctuations are various options that Jiva's deeping, I'm sure, can do, because he's so concerned over each and every living entity. So his words have some value for a particular conditioned class. But those that are liberated, hit sarcasm. That's why the gopis are saying it. The principle of matter is a consciousness of the omnipresent soul, the Mahatattva, the manifestation of material energy. Because it's spread everywhere. Mahatattva is manifested everywhere. Omnipresence. Rudra Deva is his ego. Now that's interesting. His false ego that covers the conditioned soul is manifested by Rudra Deva. The Vrajavasi, they worship Gopeshwar Mahadeva to remove the covering of false ego. The materialists, we understand that we are this body. We are this body. That is the idea of the Ahankara principle that everybody works so hard for. This is my family, this is my house, my possessions, my business, mine, and therefore you work hard for it. And you're bound up. The Vrajavasi say, this Ahamamiti that I'm this body is temporary. So we will worship Gopeshwar. He is the Chokidara, the watchman for the Rasadan. Nobody can enter without it. So we will approach him. See, you cannot bribe him also, but you can get him to appreciate your sincerity. So the idea of it is they will worship him to destroy, the men will want to destroy their Purusha Bhava. That I'm a man. Pusve Bhava. Deya Vimana. Destroy this Deya Vimana and turn this into Manjari, the Sati. In the mind, they will always cherish that seva. Although, they're males. With their sadhana deya, Bhagavad, taking the charitamrita, said they serve the Lord by shravana kirtan. But in their mind, they serve the Lord in their spiritual body. Ratri dini kori braja krishna rasiva. Night and day, they'll serve Krishna. This is taking the charitamrita. So that's that. Okay? That's that. Now, so there was some interest of some girls also. In Vrindavan, they were very attracted to Krishna Balarama, and they wanted to give their Sri Bhava. What is the use of our Sri Bhava? If we can't play with Krishna and Gauji in the daytime, what is the use? We'll simply lament like the other gopis in the daytime, all day lament, and hope to be with them in the evening only? This is no fun, they thought. So some of them wanted to give up their Sri Bhava to become coward boys so that we can play all day long with Krishna Gauji. And Radharani indeed does it in the form of Subhava. She manifests herself in the form of Subhava so that she can get the fun of being with Krishna in the daytime also. There's no difference between Subhava and Radha. The only difference is breast. The complexion, everything looks exactly the same because it is the same. It's the same personality. Manifested as a coward boy, Subhava. Astounding. Complexion, face, everything. Quite similar. Therefore, the pastime in Braj of Subhava Vesh is there. So, some coward girls, some Vrajavasi girls would want to give up their Sri Bhava and the bodily conception of life that goes along with that. And no worship Gopeshwar Mahadev to become coward boys. And they can get their fruit also, or what they want. By the Lord's mercy, they can get it. If you want Krishna, then there's no harm going to any guy with the Krishna is the essence. So these are some aspects of it, of worshiping Gopeshwar Mahadev. In the morning, his beautiful Shiva Linga is there, and you pour Charanamrita on it, and you offer him Prabhu Prasadam, and Garland Prasadam, and talk to him, and offer him his poetry. And if he's pleased, your whole day goes great. No harm. If it's for Krishna, for Krishna Bhajan, your whole day goes great. No harm. Worshipping Mahavaishnavas, like that. Huh? 35, continuing on. Rudra Deva's ego. Horse, mule, camel, and elephant are his nails. Horse. The fun story that comes about horses Of course, Krishna's horses are very beautiful. Krishna has four horses, different colors. Fast as the wind, pulling Krishna's chariot from Dwarka, like this. Arjuna has his horses, whitish in complexion, very, very nice, of course. In Dwarka Baba, that's okay. But in Vrinda Baba, horses are not so much. They've got cows, they've got goats, right? Peacocks, big deer, like that. So in Govinda Baba, the Patrick goat, very funny. At one point, the boys come out of Jamunaji. And after taking baths in the jungle, one boy gets the bright idea that we will coronate Krishna as the king of the forest. We will play that game. We will coronate Krishna as king of the forest. And we'll all become ministers in his government. So this is part of the fun the boys decided to do. So they had a whole Abhishekam. And they said, Krishna, now you're a Raja. Okay? So now appoint your government. So different boys were appointed different posts. You know, in the government, right? Radha did the same thing. When they, at Chata, when the gopis gave Radha an Abhishek and claimed her as Vrindavanishwari, then different persons became part of her government. And Krishna was also there. He was applying to become chief of security. Police. Just like Baba wants to become chief of security. Well, Radha said, let him submit his resume. Let's see what happens. So they did. And then, it was very hilarious how Krishna played games with them. Then, Krishna stashed his flute, or something like that. And he hid it in the braid of one of Radharani's gopis. You know? And he goes, hey, wait a minute, where's my flute? Where's my flute? You know, look, you know, I'm supposed to be in charge of security, but one of your ministers is not clean. You know, one of your ministers, no, there's no corruption in my government, Radharani said. All my ministers are clean. And then Radharani turns and starts frisking all of her gopis, you know, frisking her body, you know. And then, tink, it fell out of the leech's braid. Ha, ha, we caught, you know. Who's stolen my name, you know. It's very funny, you know, Krishna did that, you know. Your ministers are not clean, you know. Hit his flute in the braid of Lalita or something like that. Very hilarious. So that has very funny stuff. Anyway, the boy said, where are your mantras? Krishna, where are your ministers now? We're all different ministers in your government. Then Madhu Mangala stepped forward and said, see Krishna, by my Brahma Tejas, you've become a king of Vrindavan. Now you should give me some dakshina. And Krishna said, wait a minute, I'm only a new Raja. He said, what is the use of these ministers here? The ministers have not brought any revenue. How can I give any dakshina if I don't have any revenue? He said, it's hilarious, really. And the boys, immediately they were like, you know, we're ministers of Krishna, we have to bring some revenue. So different boys bought something, some boys bought fruit, some boys bought flowers, some boys grabbed the peacock, there was a bag for Krishna's playing the flute, and they brought to grab the peacock, presented it, right? Some boy brought some carrots. Some boy brought, then there were two deer that were captivated by Krishna's food bearing. They grabbed them and presented them. So Madhu Mangala said, I want a horse. I want a horse as charity. And Krishna said, you may be expert in mantras and tantras and yajnas, but I don't think you can ride a horse. They said, if you fall off the horse, then we're not responsible. So then the boy grabbed Madhu Mangala and they put him on his male deer. Okay? And he looked really goofy. When they put him on his deer, he looked really goofy. Okay? Funny. So looking very funny, the boys couldn't restrain themselves. And they started to clap their hands. When they clapped their hands, all the boys clapped their hands. And how funny Madhu Mangala looked on his deer. The deer goes, ah! What's going on? The deer got startled by the clapping hands of the boys. And the deer started to run here and there, right? And when the deer started to move and run here and there, then Madhu Mangala got scared. And he goes, Krishna! 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 You know, like this. And then he grabbed onto the deer's neck because there's no hunter, there's no saddle, there's no horn with the saddle, right? The only thing was grab onto the deer's neck. And when he grabbed her, he goes, yeah! What are you doing? You know? The deer got shocked. What are you doing? And started to buck. You know what the deer started to bounce and buck? You know? And Mother Mother is plays his flute, and he plays his flute, and boom, the deer froze. And Marumangala got off the deer and said, I don't think I like this horse. And Krishna goes, take another. If you don't like that horse, choose another. Very funny. So when I think about horses, that pastime comes to mind. And you can't stop crying in mathematics when you hear about that one. So these are aspects about horses. Now, mules, donkeys. Prabhupada says that every donkey considers himself to be a very great musician. Yeah. Even his wife doesn't consider that his singing is so good, you know. When he approaches his wife, what does he get for it? He gets kicked in the teeth, you know. And he doesn't stop running after his wife anyway, you know. So that's the nature of mules. We learn from the animals. All right, camels. Camels, even though they cut their tongue by eating thorny twigs, they like the taste of their own blood. So similarly, illicit connections, inappropriate connections are the same way, losing your blood, as described. Elephants are captured by the she-elephant, kept in front of the he-elephant. He runs after the she-elephant, falls into the ditch, into the big pit, and is captured. That's how they were described, how they were captured. Another elephant story was Rasikananda initiating an elephant in the forest and told him that when I require you, I will think of you when you come. So some dushtus incited a bunch of elephants to cause destruction in the Sankirtan party of Rasika in Utkal in Orissa. And at that time, Rasika called his devotee elephant from the forest, and the devotee elephant took care of the other elephants. That was the example that came to mind about that. Are the nails of the Supreme Lord. Wild animals, quadrupeds, are situated in the belt zone of the Lord. Krishna's belt is very wonderful. In his belt, he puts his flute. On the right side of his belt, he puts his flute. And on the left side of his belt, he pushes his buffalo horn. So, these are some aspects. The varieties of birds are indications of this masterful artistic sense. Dina Bundan says that the month of May is very nice in Vrindavan because there is a kingfisher bird and other birds that come. Very beautiful, with a nice, beautiful blue neck. And he swoops into the water to get some fish. And then he comes out and he holds up his wings and suns himself for a couple of minutes in the sun until the water drips off enough. And then he puts his wings down and sits there for a little bit. And then again he plunges a few minutes later. And he repeats it half of the day. You know, probably the coolest bird in the dog. In the hot water. You know, typical. Kingfisher birds do that. And I was amazed when I saw it myself. They actually put their wings out in the sun and they just sun their wings for a little while. Put them down. You just like space out and look at the water and think about what they're going to do next for like 30, 45 seconds. And again, they plunge, you know, and do it again. And it just goes on for minutes and minutes and minutes. Kingfishers are very beautiful. And there are many, many other beautiful birds. These are Krishna's artistic qualities and the colors of the bird. Manu is the standard emblem of his intelligence. Astounding. Manu Samhita Prabhupada mentions about how wonderful it is. And it's available. There are online versions of Manu Samhita you can get. And it's very, very, very good advice, even for modern Singapore. It's nice. If you have access to it, it's good, now and then. As long as you can have a good search engine, you know, then it's very good. Humanity is its residence. Purusham Nishu, the ability in man. So, Krishna likes that and gives his association to the Manusha. The Gandharvas, the Gyanas, Karnas, and angels represent a musical river. I was referring to that. If you read in Ananda Vrindavan Champu about holy festivals, there Radharani makes use of the Gandharvan named Matungi. She's very expert in playing musical instruments. So she is invited from a heavenly planet to come and serve Radharani. And they come, Matungi comes with her musical accompaniment, and they sing Vasant Raga. And all the gopis headed by Radhika become absorbed in Vasant Raga, and they start to throw color on each other and have good fun. So, by Matungi service, Radha becomes very happy, and the coward boys become very happy in the Vasant Raga. So, and previously during Rasa dance, it was described that the gopis and Krishna played 5,000 different ragas, songs. And the demigods became astonished. They never saw such a musical performance as that. And this is why they showered flowers on it. Bhakti Ratnakar describes 5,000 different ragas. You can't even think of ragas and raginis and how many different varieties of music that Krishna and the gopis would say. No. So that's some aspect about music. It changes with the times. Padyavali Kirtan is not the same as before. And even nowadays, the Bengalis that are in their 90s and 80s that know how to do Narottam style of Kirtan and like that, the generations is dying out. Padyavali Kirtan. North Indian and South Indian Karnataka music is still basically quite standard in terms of ragas. You could still get that. But Bengali Padyavali Kirtan is definitely going through some changes. And within one or two generations, it might be totally lost. Hmm. So these are some aspects about music. Now, another aspect of it, about music, is that it uplifts the prana. Like Kirtan in the morning, early morning Kirtan. In Bengali Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we chant bhajans in the morning. And that uplifts the prana. It, the life was uplifted towards sadhana. This is why it's recommended. Singing for the spiritual master in the morning like that. It doesn't matter what your mood is. You'll find a Bengali bhajan by Narottam or Bhaktivinoda that fits it. And you can have it in the morning tune. And it fits it. This is the idea of beating the mind with sticks. Huh? 100 times in the morning. Is singing different bhajans to give instructions to the mind. And beating with shoes 100 times at night is spiritualizing the mind by Hari Katha before you sleep. So bhajans are all part of that. Part of that wonderful thing for uplifting the prana. Demoniac soul is a representation of his prowess, of his powerful ambitions. Prahlad Maharaj was the example Prabhupada gives in the purport. Prahlad Maharaj was the example. Bali Maharaj is another example. Bali Maharaj is another example. What was amazing is Bali, by surrendering everything to Vamandeva, he got much better than Indra got. Much better than Indra got. Vamandeva gave himself to Bali, promised him that the Sutala was a subterranean heavenly planet. You won't have any problem there in your administration. If any of these demons try to go against you, I'll personally cut off their head. Vamandeva promised. And you can see me as much as you like, you know? So Indra, he didn't get that. Occasionally Vamana would come and visit him, but not constantly. Not like Bali Maharaj got. So by surrendering everything, Bali got much more. Bali was a winner by much more. And in the next Manvantara, you can be Indra anyway. So your ambition to be Indra, to conquer all heavenly planets and be Indra, you can have that also in your next Manvantara. So Bali got everything. No one loses. If you offer everything to Krishna, Krishna can give everything and everything to you. Are you ready to take it? Just like we were commenting on the way here, that by offering some garlands to the Supreme Lord, Sudama got full power to census, full opulences for his family, full long duration of life and liberation at the end by offering some two choice garlands. And the same thing happened to the tailor who helped to fashion different armlets and nice cloth for Krishna and Balarama. And Kundra became a most beautiful, wonderful girl simply by offering some tent to the Supreme Lord. Imagine what we do if we do these things every day. Offer the Supreme Lord some tent. You offer him some good stuff. Offer him some really good essential oil, not some cheap junk. Sandal, when in doubt, offer sandal. You can't lose.
But even Samuel is not like without Tosi. So please offer Tosi with everything. But so Kufka became a beautiful girl simply by offering some sense to Krishna and Balarama. Imagine what we could get. Saitas my prithya sarasa madadam gavya mamatam phalanba kandamba kimutekam prithadiyam. If Kufka is described in the shloka, Haripunta Kopaladika, that Putana, she offered her breast, smeared with poison, with a mood to kill the fellow. And yet she became a Dhatri. She took this Chalu Rupa, this tricky form of a nurse just as an excuse to kill Krishna, and she became a real nurse in the spiritual world. One is speak of the good fortune of those who offer sweetened condensed milk or fruits or candy, sweets offered with love. Imagine what they get. The slogan says, if you offer with love, just imagine what they get. So our fortune bhakti is offering something with love to the Lord. And if you offer that, then there's nothing that you cannot attain. And it should go down to Tulsi Rani too, please. Just like all those manjaris out there. Huh? Whoever they are. Before noon. Before noon. Somebody should collect them all. It's almost just like half an hour before noon. Collect them all. Somebody take these. Collect them all. Can we use scissors? Prabhupada told Vidya, use your brain. If you have none, ask those who do. Padma Purana says that you can pull the tree with the left hand, still, and you can break it off a clean break with the right. It says, don't shake the tree. If you're breaking off a hard manjari, it's going to involve shaking the tree, then use scissors to cut. And don't cut more. In the market, they have huge, big, huge branches. They uproot a whole tree, practically. Don't cut more than two leaves below the manjari. If you break her, as described, then Lord Vishnu's heart feels pain when you cut his wife unnecessarily. You know, it's like if you're walking with your wife on the road and some child smashes with his bicycle into your wife's head. What are you going to do to that kid? So don't, you know, can you imagine Vishnu's wife? Don't break her branches. Lord Vishnu's heart feels pain. The Tulsi Rani is great. Please use soft manjaris as much as possible. It's very nice. In the water, in the fruits, everything with Tulsi with everything. In the garlands especially, in the ghee wicks, these are all aspects of it, of offering Tulsi. Upachara Upachari. All the items that we offer the Supreme Lord are predominated by her. And if you have her, then everything is perfect. And without her, nothing is wanted. That's how powerful she is. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Questions? Before stopping. Yes, Prabhuji. What about it? Look it up online. Sadhana isn't that form. It's just an excuse to go be with Krishna. And evidently, Jagila and Mukura were getting too much trouble with Radharani. They weren't going to let her out. So they had to, you know, Krishna was in anxiety. He had to somehow get Radharani out of there. So it was just a ploy that they did. They ran the calf into her courtyard. And Subal went running out of the calf and said, Mother, Mother, my calf is in the courtyard. Well, get him, hurry up and go out. He went, the calf, somehow the calf was constrained or something. The calf ran into the house, and they went in and they changed cloth. Radharani grabbed the calf, put it to her breast so nobody could see her breast, and walked out and didn't say a word. No, okay, you got your calf, now get out of here. And she went out, and Yogamaya must have been amazing, you know. Can you imagine the Radharani inside that house, and nobody came inside to see her the whole day? You know, and if Subala is inside, you know, holding the fort, nobody came inside all day. I just, you know, it's over my head. Can't think about it. What happened to Jatila or Mukura? Why did the one inside see
speaker Shabbat and Nandini. But given the imitative voice, you know. Then in the evening they did the same thing. They get Radharani back in and Subal out of there. And the calf ran inside and they swapped roles and everything. But I can't think, what happened? You know, what happened in the daytime? That's the only thing about Subal Day. Past time that was a little bewildering. What happened in the middle? That's the question. That's it. What are we going to do now? We're doing the yajna, right?
Huh?
I think you can start to proceed. Let me do the question and answer. Right? You go ahead and proceed, and then when we finish the question and answer, just say the answer. You need to stop the yajna. Yajna is going on. Yeah. The reason is because I forgot that. Mm-hmm. I forgot that statement. The best Mahabharata edition now is part of our publications. It's 9 volumes, if you want it. Even though they're in English, unfortunately, the English is not well edited. But at least the Devanagari is there. If you want the shloka, it is shloka by shloka. You can get Kashari Mohan Ganguly's edition 7.1 megabytes downloaded. If you have a pocket PC and you want to carry it on the fly, that is available. That 1893 translation by Kashari Mohan Ganguly that tells us favorites. But then you got to get used to the old language, you know, over Wilkins instead of across the sky, you know. Over Wilkins. You can get used to it, you know. I never had a problem with anything. I got used to that easily. I didn't mind it. But part of all publications is Sanskrit and English, if you want it. I just have to get a hold of it. I told Kanaya Law that he should get better editors. Maybe I should help Kanaya Law get better editors. We should read them, you know, the next edition. Anyway, I didn't look at that. But it's there. And you can, the downloadable, you can look it up. You can look it up. It's called Sri Parva. It says it. Even in the, it doesn't matter what edition you read. When you start reading Sri Parva, it's definitely, you won't sleep. it's gripping. That's why it's good for children, you know, because at least they're not distracted. At least they're attached to Bhagavan somehow. Even if it's got romance, intrigue, anger, fighting, you know, Jamila, politics, you know, everything that children are distracted by, at least it's something to do with this year, you know. But it's kind of, I don't know what Christian said there about that. I can look at it. Go ahead, sir. You can get my godbrother, Shamasundar.com, is a Vedic astrologer, my godbrother. His website, then you can get the download there.
That's where you get
7.1 megs. Good download. I don't remember the exact shape of what you said. My mind said. Evidently, you got to read it a couple of times. But it's a good ecstasy thing to do, no? Or for ladies, you want to reach something good. There's nothing better in Ramayana for ladies than Anasuya Sita Sambhar. Oh boy, that is one of the best things for ladies to read, because that it talks about tree gardens, and you know Anasuya and Sita are both amazing personalities, you know, and they're you know intelligent. Sounding, you know, anything is great. Honestly, you think the sun is famous in Ramayana. You'll find anything you want for staying up all night in the country. Another big cool book is Dearest to Vishnu. 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th Velasas of Hari Bhakti Velas with appendixes. So it's shloka by shloka about Ekadasi. This is good read. It's great. It's great entertainment on Ekadasi Day. It helps keep your mind off your belly, that's 100%. You know? You know, it's very freezing. You know, it's like eating. Hard to put it down, you know? Anything else? Two questions. Okay, do people want to start the yajnas? I got it in my notebook over there. If anybody's got a thumb drive, they can steal it. I scanned the whole thing. I scanned Garuda Purana Sarodhara. Sarodhara is by the Junjunu Brahman. And it's 10 chapters. It only takes you 4 hours. You can't put it down. It's definitely a non-sustainable thing. It's definitely good reading, you know? It's entertaining, it's quite intense. And it's nice. It's like a very good process. Like any of the quality of life, it's very good for Dr. Harris. Very good for Mons, about Saladin, how to do it, what to do, how not to do it. It's good. I got it. It's there. It's from Vrindavan tradition. And they do it. I can't remember whether, you know, when the Prabhupada gave permission if it was done in Prabhupada's day or not, or whatever. I don't know. Old guy. They do it. What can we say? They do it. And how can we say no? You know, Radha is very fine. The sure lotus feet one day a year is. All right. Of course, Bhagari's become a grab him every day anyway. Whether she wants to give it to us or not. You know, we come in and we go in and grab it. We don't want to make that poor girl embarrassed. And many times they do it in the altar, they touch their feet all the time. Sometimes you just touch your slippers. If you don't want to embarrass them, sometimes you just touch your slippers. No. Very compassionate. This is compassionate. Very compassionate. Her eyes are always moving and she's extremely compassionate. All the shaktis of the Lord, the feminine potencies of the Lord. Oh, another cool thing I got in my computer that I got. Specifically for South Indian Vaishnavas. And I have an Alwar PDF. It's 15.25 names. And this is a book by Kundivali Gomindacharya. A very great, was a Sri Vaishnava engineer in an anthropological research institute in Bombay. They published this book in 1902. And it's all about the Alwars, with nice first-class footnotes, with Devanagari footnotes. It's well done. He had a commentary also, and I'm going to just keep the bus also he published, but I haven't got that yet. I'm still digging around for that. But this book was published again in 1982, and even they went to his house and they didn't get an edition. Finally they got it from some university somewhere and they published it. They haven't republished it again. So I got the Moscow Brahmacharis to give me to put it into a PDF. They scanned the book and put it in the PDF and they threw it at me. And it's there. And it's good reading. One of the Alwar stories of how Ranganayaki was so compassionate when she saw that one of her servants was fallen running after some prostitute's house. She asked the Lord, who is this? They were going on procession, probably to their rice lands or somewhere. Who is this? He said, oh, this is my former servant. He's after this upstart over there. And he goes, oh, Prabhu, what's wrong with your manliness? What's wrong with your compassion? How could you allow your servant to do that? She got all over his case, you know. Like a good wife does. And she got all over the Prabhu's case. And then he, all right, because you're saying like that, I'll make some arrangements. And the Lord makes me very nice arrangements, you know. It's very wonderful how the Lord did it, you know. And I was amazed that this, even Lakshmi Devi in Vaikuntha, you know, she has such an intimate relationship. She pushes her Prabhu in such nice directions, you know. Behind every great man stands a greater woman. This is why I tell everybody to worship Tulsi Devi, and all your desires will be fulfilled by worshiping Tulsi Devi very nice. Half practical and half devotional. Please don't keep her in passion. Please give her some nice prayer posture if you can and worship her very nicely. There's nothing you cannot attain by her doing. Okay, now the fire is burning nicely. Yes, mother. This is a statement from this dearest devotional book about the Ekadasi day causing agitation of the senses and therefore devotees keep the senses down. But they said, because Adme Bhamanyate Jagat, you know, the idea of it is that they could say that is it possible that Krishna's senses will be agitated by the material moon? No. But the devotees think that if our senses are agitated, everything comes from Vishnu. Then maybe Krishna's senses are transcendentally agitated on Ekadasi, and therefore we should transcendentally give him something. This is why in the 11th canto, on Ekadasi specifically, they wish to give the Lord something extra. They do extra services. So, like Prabhupada said, it's a greed to give something. If you're greedy to give something to Krishna, and you're greedy to give something to Krishna, increases on Ekadasi, then Krishna's more greedy to accept it on Ekadasi from you. His senses are agitated, moved by the love of his devotee to give him something. That's the point. Not that his senses may be agitated materially, but are moved by the love of his devotee. Okay, Hare Krishna. We can start chanting from the Samhita and Krishna Sutra for the pleasure of the Parohit, etc. Santana Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. This one devotee has written a question about anger. Dambada Mahada Pasaya. In the 7th canto, chapter 15, verse number 23, Narada Muni tells Yudhishthira, Dambada Mahada Pasaya, serve a great soul. If you have anger and you have difficulty controlling, serve a great soul. Another thing about it is forbearance. If you serve somebody that's more forbearing than you, then learn how to tolerate in a similar situation. Then you learn from them. Your anger goes down and your forbearance goes up. Another way of looking at it is that it could always be worse. Whatever happens in calamities in life, it could always be worse. You might as well look at it a little better. It could always be worse. There's no easy answer for anger. Sadhana. Sadhana helps all devotees. Scream the holy name. Cry out. But there is some aspect that anger is a justifiable anger. Like somebody is offended, right? And it's a justifiable anger for their welfare. So Krishna will act. The example was Krishna Garga's benediction to Dhruva. That, you know, that his brother Uttama would die. And his mother-in-law that offended him would go crazy. So it's all there. Vaishnava Aparada is there. And if somebody doesn't change their attitude, then it's just ground to be angry. But the anger is for their rectification. And if Krishna's pleased by that anger, then he can rectify the heart of the devotee. But anger pollutes the body. It should be destroyed in the sense because it pollutes the body. The whole body becomes polluted by anger. And it becomes difficult to think constructively and carefully. The only set of criteria is then serve a great soul, and the best servant that you can serve is probably Tulsi Rani. Because in every house she's like a guru that's there 3,365 days a year. So serve her and she'll help you control your anger. These are some aspects I think about anger. Serve great souls. The greatest soul is Tulsi as far as I can tell. She was very sober. By chanting his astakam that he wrote, that also helps pacify the anger. Engage the anger by thinking something positive He gave the energy of the things complete positive. Anger can become pacified. These are just some aspects, not everything. Just a few aspects that come to mind. All right? Of course. Don't catch pearls before swine. It takes. Somebody's not a preacher. Indirectly, it's a preacher. That's how you prove things on Krishna consciousness. Start with vegetarianism, start with good health, start with nice family. As they become more and more favorable, give them prasadam. You're going to fight with a smoker. You know what I mean? As they become purified, then you can spoon feed them. You may not talk about this directly. Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses that in principle in Krishna Samhita. It is straight into the rational state. In Bengali. You can direct preaching. Don't waste your time on direct preaching if they have no brains. In America, there's a saying is that if you ain't got brains, we can't help you. Sometimes other forecast issues. Where were you when God passed out the brains? You had brains, you'd be dangerous, you know? You ain't got any brains, we can't help you. Our duty is not to make them more angry. If they become more angry, you have not all the said that you have to do this. They become angry, you are not. Don't make them angry. If you feed them too much, they get angry. Yes, don't get too much angry. Don't fight off more than you can chew. Don't put more than a spoon in the mouth. Narottam says that Things that are mild, like burning, honey mixed with fruits. Honey is definitely intoxicating. You drink another, they look every get stoned. You want to have a child, and you can't have a child, give them to somebody else. Honey is one of them. Chowan Prash is another. Tea tree fever. With hot milk. for juggling, you don't need camel milk. If you take camel milk, you don't need Viagra. But if you don't, want to be agitated, you know, if you don't want to molest your wife, and she doesn't want you to molest him, then stay away from these things at night, you know. That's what they say. Bananas are like iron and knife. They're everything. Bananas are heavy. They bring potassium in them. They're gold in the morning, silver at noon, and iron at night. Don't take bananas at night. Don't take honey at night. Some people don't take yogurt at night, but if you're an A-blood type, yogurt is the only thing that works. Yogurt doesn't work. Yogurt can work anytime. Some things have to be taken. No cashews, Bubba. Cashews are aphrodisiac. You know, cashews are all like at noon, 12, 2 o'clock. No eggplant at night. All the time. He who serves Krishna is the most intelligent, most smart. The best person who serves Krishna is Tulsi. Even if you have photographs in your house and you don't have any deities because you don't have any time, whatever, serve Tulsi Rani. Make a big Tulsi. I'm not just talking about like branches shooting up. You keep dropping every branch in different places and you get this stuff good. If you transplant it 3 times a year, and the lights are good, when it's cloudy, and you know, you've got good sun for 4 hours a day, Tulsi Rani can boom, you know? And she becomes amazing. She can become the beauty of your flesh. Yes, but nobody is better. Because Tulsi says, Dvokya na param kinshin. There's nothing higher than her. Krishna says, Mukha Pratyaram Nanya, so there's somebody better than him, his wife. Man, every great man sends a greater woman. All the way up to Narayan and to Krishna. So when you serve her, she's Jagatatri, Tulsi, Yamuna, Ganga. They give Krishna big measure. Therefore, they're so great and so wonderful and so motherly and so kind. These are some of the aspects of it. He who serves Krishna great will serve devotees by following instructions. But the instructions are their instructions. Right? The Paramahansa. By reading their books and applying them to life. That's not a bad reason for not keeping little pictures of deities to take care of her. The Shastra will become better reading if you read it with her. Your chanting is better when you chant with her. And if you ever get blind, anger, your mind is crazy, just take shelter of her leaves. Underneath her shade, it's a whole other experience. You'll be completely cast away by the grace of her. She's so powerful. She's not ordinary. Her body is transcendental. She can give unlimited children to unlimited children. What kind of children are you ready to become? If you're ready to become a dependent child, she's ready to be your mother. That's why Jagatatri, she has an unlimited ability to be a surrogate mother for the universe. Very powerful. Can't serve her. She's the best of all these. Atah Tadiyanam Sevanam Dolosya. Shiva says, serving that human relation to Vishnu is better than Vishnu. And all of those in relation to Vishnu, the best is Tulsi. Tulsi is an expansion, of course, of Radharani. But even Radharani serves Tulsi, so she has her distinct Bhava. Okay, Yes, you can, but you want to be one of the right? So the first word at the end in the 11th canto, 11th chapter, verse 55, where Prabhupada says, I don't know if you get out of the library. That is the ultimate idea for our Guru is an imaginative manifestation of the absolute form. Make sure you can see. The great Lord can appear in the mind of the devotee as well. Some people that can't appreciate the Supreme Lord. See the power of the energy and the earth's nature. But ultimately, just as a source of people. So I'm going to hit the It's great. You get the whole benefit of Anshram, these are Anshram. You get the whole benefit of the entire 7 months if I don't have it. That's 5 years. That's 5 years. A different record you can do. Something on your trip. My network is a big thing. Some just go to the cow. First day is cow urine and water and fruit.
Namaste.
You have that fruit. Okay, washing. That is the first step of look at Garuda Prabhu and Krishna Arjuna, what can I do? I'm
sure.
Thank you. Swaha, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. हरे कृष्ण प्रभु हरे कृष्ण माता जी जय श्री भक्ति विश्रम्भ माधव महाराज की ऑन बिहाफ ऑफ द कॉन्ग्रीगेशन वी वुड रियली लाइक टू थैंक महाराज फॉर हैविंग ग्रेस्ड दिस ओकेजन एंड डिलीवरिंग सच वंडरफुल लेक्चर विद मच यू रियली इंस्पायर अस टुडे एंड वी रियली लाइक टू थैंक यू फॉर योर एसोसिएशन महाराज थैंक यू सो मच महाराज सो वी कम टू द एंड ऑफ द प्रोग्राम We will just make way for Prabhu to clear the Homam piece and shortly we will just serve prasadam. Now the Lord seems to be put to that. One of the devotees can take care of that. And Mataji and children, after the Lord seems to be put to that, they can go out and start honoring prasadam. Hare Krishna.
served outside, so the children and Matajis can make their way outside to honor Prasadam first.